owl is poised to strike.
It's time for a look-in with everything Steelers with Pittsburgh's Post-Gazette Steelers beat writer Ed Bouchette. Sponsored by Wright GMC in Wexford and Mount Lebanon Office Equipment. Keeping you up to date on everything Steelers. 93.7 The Fan.
You're not going to get overly concerned about the penalties or the nature, the state of the NFL in terms of how things are being officiated. Penalties are going to get thrown every now and then. Some of the times it's going to be our fault, believe it or not. We're going to move on and continue to play.
We're going to move on and continue to play. Vinny and Cook here with you. Final hour, Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan of our show. Seibel and Starkey coming in at 2. Get a chance to spend some time, courtesy of the folks with Wright GMC in Wexford and Mount Lebanon Office Equipment with Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Of course, you can see his stuff on postgazette.com and on our website as well. Good afternoon, Ed. How are you?
I'm great, Benny. How you doing? Hello, Ron.
It's all good, Ed. It's all good, especially if you're Mike Tomlin, because you got about three or four snappy lines in there in today's press conference and didn't say much of anything except making me think that the Buffalo Bills were the greatest team ever to play football.
Yeah, he makes every opponent sound that way, Benny. But, you know, I have to agree with him on one thing with Buffalo. If you look at their past five games, it's a completely different team. They've adjusted to new coaching. They've adjusted to a new defense, and you know, they haven't thrown in the towel, which it's kind of easy to do after you go 0-8. But they've hung tough, won their last two, and kept it close in the three games before that.
Makes them dangerous, a team that makes their season if they knock off the Steelers, right?
Oh well, there's no doubt. They're at the point now. They're just trying to take, you know, a step a day, a step a game. I mean, and they're playing at home. Probably be a lot of Steeler fans up there who got tickets, so it could be for an interesting atmosphere. You know, we may even see a little snow.
Ed, he didn't want to talk about officiating whatsoever. Didn't want to talk about the $25,000 fine for Richard Seymour's hit on Ben Roethlisberger. I speculated the message he wants to send to his team. They're calling it the way they're calling it, and we got to play through it. And the less attention paid to it is the better. Do you agree with that?
Oh, there's no doubt, Ron. I mean, he doesn't want to look back to begin with, and he certainly doesn't want his team sitting around grousing about officiating. I mean, it doesn't matter. They can't control that, especially those types of calls that were made on Sunday, you know, where his team – I'd be surprised, like if maybe Ryan Clark. I thought James Harrison might get a fine for roughing the passer, but I don't think he did anything wrong. I think that was over-officiating, a reaction to, you know, the league coming down and issuing all these fines and saying to its officials, hey, you've got to call penalties here on some of these plays, and they went overboard Sunday.
And is that the thing that maybe got lost in this whole deal, is the way the coaching job that Tomlin and his staff did to navigate the penalties and everything that they had to go through on Sunday?
Yeah, it's not just a coaching job on Sunday, Vinny. I mean, you prepare a team like that, you put together a team like that to react in a certain way. And for the most part, I think the Steelers teams down through the years of this, at least the past decade or so, have done that well. You know, I mean, they've been able to put things aside and not overreact. And I think that is part not just of coaching, but of an entire organization.
We're talking to Ed Bouchette, my pal and colleague at the PG, our Steelers insider here on 93.7 The Fan. Ed, were they as bad as they played against New England or as good as they played against Oakland, somewhere in the middle? I mean, I remember last week we were saying, is this still a Super Bowl contender? Is it a playoff team? As you look at them now, coming off these past two games, where are they other than 7-3?
7-3 is a good spot, Ron, and what I mean that is that's about what they are. And we all know they were terrible against New England that day, and Tom Brady had a lot to do with that. But on the other hand, that New England defense isn't that good to have held the Steelers down until the game meant nothing. But we do have blinders on here in Pittsburgh. We only see the good and the bad of the Steelers, and you pick out the faults. And you know, even when they win 35-3, fans are picking out faults. Media is picking out faults. But every team has faults. You know, there's all kinds. kinds of faults on teams. And this team is 7-3, one game off the best record in the NFL, and it's very representative, I think, of the kind of team it is.
And I want to go back to the fine on Seymour for a second, because it seems to me to point that there's an inconsistency, I guess, in what the league is doing. And I know fans are upset. A lot of fans think that it's it's a conspiracy against the Steelers, and this and that and the other thing. Is the number one? Is the justice in the league inconsistent? And number two, I don't think there's a conspiracy against the Steelers, but are they keeping a closer eye on guys like James Harrison, on certain guys, not only on the Steelers, but in the entire league?
Well, I think there's no doubt they're keeping a closer eye on James Harrison and guys who have that kind of reputation, if you will, or the history of fines. I mean, the commissioner called James Harrison into New York for a meeting. As far as I know, he hasn't called Richard Seymour in yet for a meeting.
He's afraid he might punch him.
It's inconsistent, but I don't believe they're going after the Steelers. No, I don't believe that. But I think the punishment is inconsistent. What Richard Seymour did, if you did that on a street, you'd be arrested. In fact, he violated the law when he assaulted Ben when there was no play going on. And if this were in Canada, he might have been charged, especially if he was a hockey player.
Yeah, I know Cookie and I argue about this, but we had this argument on Monday that I think he should have been charged. I mean, I know that you don't want to get the police involved, but when you do something like that, there's a cop walking them out there, why don't they arrest
guys
like
that? You know, my argument to that, Ed, was just what the NFL needs is someone to come in from the outside to tell them how to do their business.
Yeah,
it's got to be run by the commissioner, and you'd like to think that he would have had Roethlisberger's back on this with a little more punishment than the $25,000 fine.
Yeah, I didn't say that like they should have.
I said that to
point out that that's an illegal activity, and maybe the NFL should have taken care of it, as Ron said. Having said that, though, a $25,000 fine. The guy was contrite about it. I don't know what Ben said. Maybe Ben shouldn't have been doing what he did, you know, brushing past Seymour like that. It was bad, but I think it's worse. We see it as worse because we're comparing it to the fine that the James Harrison got, the $75,000 fine. That's the fine I think was out of line. Not so much that this one was.
Right, and therein lies maybe the inconsistency. Ed Bouchette with us here, our Steelers insider on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Ed, it's kind of overlooked the game, actually, because everybody was talking about the Seymour hit, the penalties and all that. I thought they played maybe their best game on Sunday against a team that came in hot, an offense that came in hot, and just about in every phase, I thought they were pretty good.
Yeah, they were. Ron, I'm not sure about their best, but they played very well. I mean, I thought they played very well against Tampa, and that was without Ben. And you're right about overlooking things. This has gone on a lot this season where we've talked more about officiating and fines and everything else than we have about football. And I think that's part of the problem with the NFL finding itself is, people are just talking about all this other stuff and not about the game itself. But, yeah, they put themselves back on the map, Ron, with not only the victory, but the way they won against Oakland.
You bring up a great point about the fans. I've never heard, and we talked about it at the game, you and I sit next to each other, the referees stink, they used another word chant at a game. I have never heard that before about a body of work. They'll boo a bad call. But I think the people in that game were disgusted, and their team was winning big, and they were still disgusted with what they were watching.
And it was a coordinated chant, Ron.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It wasn't like one section got off kilter. They were all together, which is you rarely hear that at a stadium. And I'd never heard that chant at a stadium. I could tell you that. Like you said, you hear fans booing and stuff like that, but not a chant like that. And we were behind glass, and it was clearly evident to us.
Looks like they might get Brett Kiesel back this week, available to play, and Will Allen also cleared. It looks like they might start, the walking wounded might start to get back, at least in some of these positions.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to lose, you know, the rookie wide receiver, Antonio Brown. But, you know, he hasn't been playing much anyway. But I really liked how he was returning on Sunday.
He and Sanders have done a nice job.
Yeah, but I think Brown is the better return man, and I think Sanders is the better, more polished wide receiver. And he's going to get more opportunities. Mike Tomlin said he's not number three. That's what he said after Sunday when I asked him. Well, he is number three. He's moved ahead of Antoine Randall.
Who is Mike Tomlin to question your decisions here?
Well, you know, I even asked the kid, are you number three now? He said, yeah, I'm number three. And, I mean, anybody with any eyes could see he's number three. The only time they put Randall L. on the field was for a gadget play.
Yeah, I think that drop the week before against New England might have he just hasn't been the same player. He's not the same player. He's four years older than he was when he was here before.
Yeah, he's actually 5 years older, Ron, because 05 was his last
season.
Yeah,
05, right.
What was the line he had about Mike Wallace that was pretty funny?
He has a lot of suggestions for his nickname. I suggest to him he prepares to beat Buffalo. So.
Hey, Ed, it's good to talk to you. Listen, have a very good Thanksgiving. I know we won't talk to you until after that. So have a good Thanksgiving. All the best to you and the family.
All right, Vinny, you too. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Eddie.